This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey, guys, I was listening to the most recent episode, and you guys were talking about Pornhub stats during the Hawaiian missile breakout, which I found that kind of surprising that the traffic dropped suddenly when they thought that there were missiles in the air. Because, you know, if I found out that missiles were heading my way, if I didn't have a girlfriend, I'd just jerk the fuck off, because may as well go out with a bang. And also, I don't know if you guys have seen that one picture of the guy that was basically fossilized in Pompeii. But he was fossilized with his hand on his dick, which I gotta say, I respect that. So, anyway, glory hole, assholes.
Hey, guys, this is Ben from Montana. Just listened to your episode, and you have that bit about the Hawaii and Alaska down there in the left-hand corner of the map. I used to work with a dude on oil rigs who honestly believed that Alaska was an island because it was down there with Hawaii. I don't even know. I think it's the Butte school system. There's something in the water up there, but glory hole, guys.
Joel Ferguson Show. Two thoughts. One, we should do a show together. And two, I have a serious correction to make on one of your previous shows, and I think this will speak for itself.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat, although hopefully soon there will be new t-shirts.
New t-shirts.
We are working on it, guys.
Get new stuff.
We are working on it. We want to expand our merch line. We want to have, we got some good ideas and some bad ideas. We want to run with them all.
We want to run with the bad ideas. That's for sure.
Well, the problem is that most of my ideas are bad ideas.
Yeah, all.
And then most.
All.
Hey.
I mean, all of most of them. Yes.
Okay. All right. But saying yes to your good ideas is one of my ideas. So I feel like
I claim this idea.
Yeah.
You know, you like get a chance to stick your
don't shit on yourself,
you get
Cecil.
To stick your flag in my idea. I like it.
Look, I'm in management. That's taking credit for other people's work.
Pretty much what you do every day.
Yeah. How do we do?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going back to bed. Well done, guys.
So in a few minutes, Tom, we're going to be interviewing a person who we're really excited. They're going to be coming to Glory Hole Studios for our 400th episode.
Isn't that crazy? Hold on. Think about that for a second.
400th episode. We're going to be interviewing Seth Andrews, the Thinking Atheist. He's not the Thinking Atheist.
No, it's
that's
from
his show.
His show, the Thinking
show,
Atheist.
The Thinking Atheist. He's going to yell at me. But
he won't yell. He'll softly correct you in his dulcet tone.
Yeah, like ridiculously deep, perfect voice.
If anybody needs a baritone,
yeah.
It's just amazing.
It is. If you are listening and you're a fan of the show and you want to wish us a happy 400th and you want to keep it short and you want to send us a message, you're welcome to do so. This is a great way to plug your own podcast too. If you're a podcaster and you want to plug your own podcast, it's a great way to plug your own podcast really quickly. We are accepting them for the next couple of weeks and we'll put them at the beginning of
keep
our 400th.
Keep it 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, pretty short. They want to be short, but we'll put them in at the beginning just like voicemails. So send them in. The best way to do it, you can, of course, call our voicemail number, but the best way to do it might be to record a voice memo on your phone and send that along. But we'll be accepting them for the next couple of weeks. We also want to announce really like at the beginning of the show so people will hear it because, you know, they might turn off the end. We will be live streaming directly after the State of the Union address, which will be tomorrow when this releases. So this will release on Monday. It's going to be tomorrow night.
Right.
We will be live streaming on Facebook. As well as live stream will be on Twitter too beforehand. And then the link will be on Twitter, sent to Twitter. If you want to come and talk and listen to us chatter about what Trump just said.
Oh my God.
This will be a perfect opportunity. So we'll be on live on Monday or Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to it. Forward to, you know, I'm just trying to think of like the last fun time we came to the studio for a live presidential event. It was
wasn't because we did his inauguration. Here's the thing.
I blocked that out of my mind. I carved that from my mental memory as the trauma that it was.
I wonder if they're going to put those whiteboards underneath at the State of the Union address.
They put it underneath the senator's seats because they don't want to show up. They're just like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Busy.
I'm not going.
So check us out then. So if you want to come check us out.
Do you think the State of the Union's required attendance? You know what I mean? Like, well, is it an all hands on deck sort of thing?
They came to, I remember when they booed Obama. Do you remember that when they booed that
didn't
one
they
guy
do that eight
yelled,
times?
The guy yelled
yeah, he did.
And booed,
I remember, yeah.
And was pretty rowdy.
He was chastised pretty heavily.
You know, that's because this isn't fucking
third grade.
This isn't Australia, because they do that shit in Australia. they yell at each other
they
and they
do that
cheer
shit in
at
England
each other
too. They're like, they get all hooty and hollery
they
over.
They cheer at each other, but they don't do that here.
Right. Because we're civilized.
Well, I'm curious. I'll be honest, I kind of hope a Democrat doesn't boo him this time.
I don't want him to be booed.
I don't want that to happen.
The thing is, like, It just makes it makes you look like an asshole.
And now
right?
you're saying it's okay. Now you're like, right. Well, everybody can boo anybody.
Yeah. We've already with Trump, and I'm kidding, but I'm sort of not too. Like, we've already lowered the required level, like the discourse,
absolutely.
And of intellect,
absolutely.
And of polite discussion. Yep. We've already said, like, we'll take less.
Yeah,
like we'll take less. Yep. It's like, this is the presidential version of like settling. You know, you know what I mean? You're just like, oh my God, fine, I can't. Just like, I'm pregnant, so fine. Just fine.
Oh, Jesus
fine.
Christ.
Just get, all right.
That is pretty much
only the rest of my life. This is the presidential equivalent.
Yeah.
So gosh. I just can't wait for the inevitable divorce.
I just hope the cheeseburger punches him in the stomach.
Who's that guy on the other side of the glory hole? It's Jesus.
This is fucked up. Raw story. Michigan pastor only gets 60 days after he's busted trying to hook up with 11-year-old in Craigslist sex sting. This is pretty much what it sounds like, but I want to read a quote from here. This guy goes in front of the judge. So, I mean, this is what he's doing. He's trying to arrange a fucking sexual encounter with a little kid, right?
Yeah, an 11-year-old. He's and he is a pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes in front of the judge and he's like, look, I'm a good person. Despite, you know, trying to fuck a fifth grader.
Yeah, he says, despite previously telling police that he had sexual interest in children ages 12 to 13. Yeah,
he says, this case is not a reflection of who I am. Yeah. I am a good person. Yeah. No, this is a reflection of exactly who you are.
Look, I like to fuck 11-year-olds, but I also take out the recycling on time.
well, then now that you say that, it's fine.
Make sure.
It's totally fine.
The bins are in after.
Look, I mean, the fucking 11-year-olds aren't going to do it. So. Someone's got to take out the recycling.
Replace the garbage disposal last week.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that makes up for being a child fucking...
A child
pastor.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, what person goes on to Craigslist to look for little kids to fuck? What kind of weird...
An idiot hoping to be arrested?
What kind of weird Craigslist ad is that?
Missed connections?
Jesus. Is he like going to like all the people selling their Xbox and asking them if they're 11, if they want to fuck?
He's just like looking. He's like, would you trade your Pokemon cards for semen? Maybe? No takers. Oh, wait. It turned out you were an undercover cop. Who would have thought?
I'm a good person.
I'm a good guy.
Don't arrest me.
You know,
yeah.
If only the Bible had a single commandment called don't rape kids.
Don't rape kids.
Or like, hey, you know what the Bible could have? Is a commandment that says don't rape.
Can't we just have like a 5.5?
Right?
Like, just let's pencil it in.
I love that there's 10 commandments and it's like the worst crimes you can think of aren't there. Yeah. Right?
Seriously,
you had 10.
Well, murder.
You waste
murder's
three.
There.
Murder's on there. All right, so you get the one. You're not supposed to, you know.
Yeah, but rape isn't on there.
But slavery isn't on there. You know, torture.
Hostage like, taking.
There's like so many things. And the funny thing is
torture.
Like, these are things that it took us thousands of years to figure out we're wrong, right? Slavery, it took as a species, it's taken us how long?
Oh, I know.
And we still have a problem with human trafficking. Yeah. We still have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Just put it in your fucking book. Yeah. It's not like it's a short book. You're not like short on fucking space in that thing.
Admittedly though, you know,
we still have problems with human trafficking because it's in the book as like it's okay, but we also still have problems with gays, Tom. And that's in the
oh,
book.
Yeah,
as
oh, yeah,
well.
There you go.
So,
yeah,
so, you know what I mean? So people would just ignore it.
Yeah, you got me there.
Yeah.
God has no place within these walls, just like facts have no place within organized religion.
This story's fucked up. It's from NPR. Trump admin will protect health workers who refuse services on religious grounds. So the Trump administration basically set up a whole division dedicated to protecting health workers who refuse services or would like to refuse health services on religious grounds. We talked about, you know, kind of a dovetailing subject earlier when we talked about the shitheads who sent the nasty pamphlets,
yeah, the nasty,
right?
Yeah.
And this kind of feels the same, right? Like now all of a sudden there is a religious reason to be an asshole and refuse somebody medical treatment.
Yeah.
Specifically, this refers to protecting doctors and other health workers who might not want to perform services related to abortion,
yeah,
or euthanasia. Yeah. And it's like, it's all bullshit, right? It was Cecil and I were talking about this earlier. And it's like, you know, it's not like you show up at the hospital, just like walk in and be like, hi, abortion, please. Yeah. And then they just put you in the Abortionator, sure, 3000.
Yeah. And any way you guys could just help me commit assisted suicide,
right,
today?
Oh, yeah, I'm alive.
I'm perfectly,
can you fix
I'm
that?
In perfect health.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So none of that is the case. Like, that's not how any of this works. So doctors are not forced to perform abortions. Like, you go to an abortion clinic, a place that provides these. You just wouldn't work there. Like, that's a service you don't,
sure,
want to provide.
Yeah.
You wouldn't work there.
There's plenty of other things you can do as a medical professional.
Right.
You don't have to do that.
You don't have to provide end-of-life care that includes euthanasia. Like, right, look, they can already deny you if you don't have the right insurance.
Yeah.
They just don't take your appointment,
sure,
right? So they have all these rights. But where I grow concerned, and we've seen stories and covered stories about this, is when religious hospitals specifically refuse medical necessary,
yeah,
abortions.
Necessary,
right?
Stuff that could save the life of the mother.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, or, you know, we've had stories where people were in terrible pain for excessive periods of time in the middle of a miscarriage, and doctors refused to perform an abortion,
yeah,
in the middle of a painful, inevitable miscarriage.
Yeah.
Those things are tragedies, and those should be against the law. Like, I think that shit should be against the law. Like, we were talking about whether or not a doctor should, yeah, have to perform these services. And like, I think if it's medically, yeah, necessary, the fucking answer is an easy yes.
Yeah, medical necessary, I think the answer is easy yes. But I, you know, you and I both agreed that if a doctor didn't want to perform this stuff and it wasn't like, you know,
medically
if
necessary,
it was just an elective thing, then yeah, you know, maybe they could transfer the person to another person or whatever and avoid doing this particular thing,
right,
you know, that's against their conscience. The problem is that if they create this, you know, this branch of the government to do this, what it's allowing is basically all, it's basically allowing medical professionals to be like that woman who wasn't fucking issuing fucking marriage licenses because it was against,
yeah,
their conscience.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's going to be the same thing, except for instead of having somebody in office that can stop that, now you don't.
Yeah,
now you have somebody who, yeah, enshrines that behavior.
And so, like, I don't think this is actually going to result in a whole lot of net new activity at all,
yeah,
like, or prevent anything,
right,
from actually happening.
Right.
What this feels like is a pander. This feels,
yeah,
like a blatant,
yeah,
pander to a religious base to say, hey, look at what I've done to protect you. It's like that,
sure,
religious, it's, your religious freedoms are totes important. And,
yeah,
it's like, oh, is this going to have any practical impact on anyone's life? No, probably not.
Probably not.
But
look what I did for you.
Right.
And,
yeah,
one hand washes the other.
Right.
Vote Trump.
We just ask to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Open hearts, Lord. Open hearts.
All right. So we want to revisit a topic that is horrifying. I don't know why we're doing this. We are because it's still got some juice in it. It's from CNN.com. This is ants of 13. And that's actually a correction because I said 12.
Did you?
Last episode, I said it was 12
kids. They found
kids.
Another one.
At some point, you just stop counting because it's not interesting anymore.
Right,
you know,
right.
Is it a dozen or a baker's dozen?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
They're all abused. So those fucking lunatics, the Turpin family, they had those 13 kids and,
yeah,
they abused them just terribly,
yeah,
just terribly. This is a story where the aunt comes out, right? The sister-in-law of the dude. The aunt comes out and is like, yeah, they were super weird as it turns out. This isn't one of those scenarios,
yeah,
where people are like,
they were so quiet, so nice.
This is one of those things where people are like, those people were weird.
It turns out everything that they were doing, like when they had their kids, like greenskeeping at nine in the evening,
right,
when they had,
you know, all these, like the kids were super skinny and nobody ever saw them and they were kind of weird and pale and they didn't know what police officers were and stuff. This isn't one of those times where you're just like, oh yeah, they were real nice. Like everybody around them is like, no, they weren't.
They were super fucking weird.
It was kind of weird. It was sort of weird the whole time.
Yeah. So the sisters, like one of the sisters is like, yeah, those kids looked really skinny. It's like, yeah. That happens
when you don't feed them.
A 29-year-old person is mistaken for a 10-year-old.
Fucking A, man.
Right?
Yeah.
That is, that's some fucking horror show shit.
Yeah.
The other sister reported, like the sister-in-law of that dude was like, yeah, you know, I went to go visit and it was kind of weird because whenever I would take a shower, the dude would come into the bathroom and just sit and watch me shower. And then I love what she says about it because it's sort of like, it's horrifying, but it's also sort of like perfect. She says, you know, I didn't say anything because I was young, I was scared, and I was in Texas. Yeah. Like, yeah. All right. You know, okay. I gotcha. No, yeah.
Enemy territory. Makes sense.
Right? Yeah. It's like,
absolutely.
First of all, it makes sense to be scared when you're in Texas.
Absolutely.
Right. I just feel like as soon as you cross that
behind
border,
enemy lines, my
it's
friend.
It's terrifying. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
The best case scenario in Texas is an enemy mine scenario.
Exactly.
Right?
Where you have to work with the
together
weird alien.
To survive.
The illegal alien.
Speaking of which, did you see the
zombies?
Video?
Zombies. With this story, it's funny he didn't hire an illegal immigrant to do his lawn. It'd probably be cheaper than feeding. No, well, I guess he didn't feed him.
Yeah,
so
right.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing cheaper doesn't, than
nothing cheaper
starvation
than starvation labor. I gotta say, you look at the picture of this guy.
Oh,
you look at the photo of this guy. Doesn't he look like a 1950s movie version of a Renaissance noble? He looks like a prince from one of those movies, doesn't he?
He looks insane.
He does.
He looks
like a crazy person.
That's like both of these pictures, but particularly this guy. Yeah. He's got an old lady's haircut. Yeah. That is an old lady haircut.
Yeah. You know, we were talking last time about, you know, whether or not the woman was involved. You know, you're saying that she, you know, clearly she's complicit if she's there that long. But we don't know if she was abused too, right? You have no idea.
Sure.
And, you know, that's what this woman, I think, is sort of saying. Like, you know, it's not her fault. She's sort of making it seem like, especially in this article, like, you know, the guy was really did have a lot of control.
The ringleader.
Yeah, exactly.
It you look at this guy though, just to get back to the idea that like people didn't know what was up.
Yeah.
There's no way you see this guy and you're like, oh, he just seems like a normal guy.
He's a normal dude.
That guy just doesn't, he seems
he
not,
did his own bangs.
He cut him off himself. But like, there needs to be like a way to keep track, Cecil, of how many kids people have. And what happens to them and where they go.
Huh.
Some kind of like centralized system that all the kids go to on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
And there should be no exceptions to that. Right?
Well, you know, I don't know that I would say that there should be no exceptions to homeschooling. And I know for sure you're not 1,000% on the public school system because your son's in a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And your other son's probably going to go to a private school, almost certainly. You know what I mean?
So
you know what I mean? You have, like, it's not that you're not like fucking sucking off the public school system. You're like, think that there's,
there are times when there are other options.
Absolutely.
Which are
way better than what you can give your kid. And homeschooling might be that for a very qualified person, but there's almost never any checks and balances to make sure that they are ultra qualified for that position. It's not that I'm against homeschooling. It's that I'm against unregulated homeschooling, which that there's an article from Wonkette that suggests that in California, it is very much unregulated.
I believe, you know, from other articles I've read, I believe it's very much unregulated across the board.
Yeah.
And one of the regulations in schooling that's very important that has nothing to do with education or academics has to do with just somebody else is keeping an eye on those kids to make sure they still exist and someone's feeding them.
Yeah.
You know, basic shit. Cause like if my kid, even my kid in private school, if my kid just stops showing up, just stops showing up and nobody calls and nobody says anything and nobody, if they just one day isn't around anymore or he comes
they
to
would
school
try to contact
bruises,
you or you yeah, know, and then gonna, if they don't, if he comes to school with bruises, they're going to contact, they're not going to talk
to
you.
Worker, right.
They're not going to talk to you. They're going to fucking circumvent you immediately. And they're going to talk to somebody who has the power to maybe take that child away from you.
Yeah, right. They're going to, and all of that all of that stuff is, you know, if you're involved in a system and like, cause I've got a little boy who keeps fucking bumping his fucking head on everything because he's three and he's clumsy because he's made out of half my parts. Uh-huh. But like, you know, we've gotten calls from the school and they're like, are you sure what's going on? And they're like, yeah, he's fine. He just bumped his fucking head because he's an idiot.
Hit him a lot.
You know? Right. And I just, the beatings are, we keep just the beatings
throw,
below.
I just throw neck. A can of soup at him once in a while.
But it is nice that somebody's looking out.
Yep. Yep.
And like, the thing is like, if you homeschool your kids, especially if you homeschool them from the jump.
Yeah.
They never enter the system.
Yeah.
So they don't exist. Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting in this article, they talk about only two states, surprisingly, Pennsylvania and Arkansas, require some sort of background check on the parent. And it says,
Arkansas?
Yeah, it says that Pennsylvania will not allow parents who have been convicted of a number of things within the last 5 years to homeschool their children. And Arkansas prohibits convicted sex offenders from homeschooling. So that tells you something crazy about the system, that there is no real checks in any other place where, you know, I mean, where just you would just be like, oh, you know, first off, I don't know how a convicted sex offender even has a child in their care. I don't even know how that's possible.
I guess,
genuinely don't know how that's possible. Yeah. I would imagine that the government would do a better job than that.
No, but I don't think that they can, right? Like, that's the thing about procreating, like reproducing, is there's no laws that say who can and can't. There's not, as far as I know, there are no laws that say who can and can't.
Oh.
And like, you have to be proven unfit to raise your kid.
A conviction of sex, of some sort of sex offense, somebody is not
has
unfit?
To, but somebody has to bring that to someone's attention.
Wow.
Right? That's the thing about the system, is like, somebody has to act to bring something to someone's attention.
Yeah. Tom, I want you to read part of this article. It's two paragraphs here. It's from the LA Times. It's not part of the, it's part of this article, but it's quoted in this article, this Juan Cat article. Right. It's from the LA Times. I'll try to make it a little bigger so you could see it.
Thank you.
But
I'll try to squint so I can see it.
I tell my wife that. I'm like, I'm going to make it a little bigger. So
you can see it.
And she's like, I still can't see it.
It's fine.
So this is from the LA Times. This is talking about other abuses that have happened, but specifically from homeschool kids.
The Turpin children were found chained to their beds. So was Calista Springer, a 13-year-old Michigan girl who died in a house fire in 2009 when she was unable to free herself. Christian Choate of Indiana was kept naked in a cage. He died in 2009 at age 13, but his death was not discovered until two years later.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
In Arizona, a 14-year-old girl was locked in a bedroom for more than a year and routinely raped by her father, who escaped by kicking... No, she escaped, not the father. She escaped by kicking down the door when the rest of the family was away and running 2 miles across town to the home of a friend from when she attended school. In Ohio, a couple forced their 11 adopted special needs children to sleep in cages. Can I stop reading? This is hurting.
I know. Isn't it awful?
This is really upset. As with the Turpins, those parents told investigators they believed they had done nothing wrong. Two sisters in Florida were locked in makeshift cages and whipped with leather straps. In nearby Georgia, Mitch Comer spent 4 years locked in a bedroom in his family's home. When he turned 18, his parents put him on a bus to Los Angeles with pamphlets for homeless shelters.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
None of that shit could
happen.
They
didn't even give him a sandwich. I can't even believe that. No, but really, you know, especially when you talk about the kids that were kept away from other people when they were locked away, that you're right. That cannot happen if your kid is enrolled in public school.
Yep. It's like you just have to, you know, there's a pain in the ass to the fact that we're all part of this system, you know, and I get it.
Yeah.
And I get it. But like the fact that there's a system keeps the most vulnerable of us safe.
Yeah.
Do you believe the earth is round?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe that Earth is round?
Yes, but I heard the new one that the Earth
There's
is...
no new one.
There is no new one. Okay, I heard some crazy
believe,
one. My boy
do you believe that we are...
That.
Do you believe...
Do you believe... This is going to sound crazy. Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to Super Conspiracy Theory Guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
I love this guy. I love this guy, Cecil. I love this guy so much. This is from the Philly Voice. About a month ago or so, and we didn't cover because it didn't happen. About a month ago
or
so.
Yeah, he just like pulled out.
Right.
Like wasn't even like a good pull out.
I pulled out early.
Yeah.
It's a waste of your time.
Pulled out early.
I just, shit. Yeah, all right.
He put it in once and then ran home.
I got to go. Yeah. I'm going to go jerk this in the back.
Hey, mate.
Oh, God. I'm scared.
Doctor, do you have anything for premature? Forget it.
I'm good. This guy, Mad Mike Hughes, I love this story with all of my heart. He built a fucking steam-powered rocket. Every part of the story is better than every other part of the story.
It really gets better as you work your way through it.
He built a steam-powered rocket, mm-hmm. and his intention is to research flat Earth. Now, what he wants to do is he wants to shoot himself in this janky-ass looking fucking, seriously, looks like a model rocket you build in your backyard.
It looks ridiculous. It looks like someone like attached several trash cans together and then put a cone on the
top
of it.
Yeah. Also, again, I want to point out it's steam powered.
Yeah.
You know, like nothing is anymore.
You had to go back in time to get
right
rockets.
He's gonna shoot himself some varmints before. Right. Like, I'm surprised he has a cone and not a cow catcher on the front of it. You kidding me?
It's got its own cane that it's spinning.
There's gonna be bandits to try to board the rocket.
When it comes back down, it's just an umbrella opens and.
No, if everything goes perfectly, the best part of this, he wants to research flat Earth. If everything goes perfectly, he's going to hit an altitude of about 2,000 feet. So which, I recently was on a hot air balloon. Yeah. It was 4,000 feet.
Yeah.
That's not high enough. Also airplanes.
It's not high enough.
He could just buy a ticket.
But it's not high enough on an airplane.
Right, I know it's not, but like the best part is like he could go higher, safer, cheaper. Like he could
get on a jumper flight at 40,000. They cruise at 40,000.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. So he's not getting, first of all, he's going to risk his life shooting a bunch of fucking steam up his ass until he goes a half a mile in the air for no reason, reason at all.
The thing is, I can't figure out. I know it's for publicity, right? I know he's doing it for publicity. And so are like those, you know, when you see on the back of people's cars, they have those ribbons, like the magnetic ribbons.
Yeah, it's
like
a ribbon for every cause.
Like a red one for cancer and a pink one for breast cancer and a, I don't know, like a yellow one to bring the troops home. There's all kinds of different ones, right? There's all kinds of different ones. This feels like a ribbon for science illiteracy. You know what I mean? It's bringing attention to science illiteracy because he's going to go there and be like, nope, look flat to me.
It makes sense too, because you know, he's going to be wrapped around a tree just like a ribbon is when this is over. Like the first time he tried to do this, the FAA or whatever was like, yeah, no,
you can't.
You're in a space where real people are going to be in good aircraft. Yeah. And you might hit one of them.
Yeah.
And when you land, please, you might fall on somebody that's worth a shit. Yeah. So they said no. So he found a place where he can take his fucking, like, he's got an RV or some shit that this thing is attached to.
Yeah.
That's like powered with his steam orgone generator or whatever. That he's going to use.
He's got to shovel coal into something.
My favorite thing is like, I read an article about this guy before. Like, this isn't his first rodeo. He's done crazy shit before. He built another rocket before in his life and he launched himself in the rocket. And there's video on YouTube of this thing crashing into the ground. And they pull him out of it and he's moaning, like, it gets all fucked up. He's like a science. He's like if like Bill Nye got beaten with a hammer and then made it with Evel Knievel.
If like Bill Nye went missing and you found him under the stairs 30 years later.
Right? He was homeschooled.
How do you like that? My own mother falling for that stuff.
Well, you don't know, Larry. Maybe Dr. Kahuha can help her.
Doctor? That guy's no doctor. He's a quack.
Oh, this is fucked. So this is from smackmyhead.com.au or Sydney Morning Herald, whatever, SMH. Call for age limit after chiropractor breaks baby's neck.
I think SMH mean spine. Mine hurts.
Actually, after you break your neck, nothing hurts. Yeah, because
true. No, that's true. Yeah. If you break it right. You got to break it right, though, Tom.
It's a call for an age limit. So a baby, some parents brought their fucking infant, an infant to the fucking chiropractor and the chiropractor broke the fucking kid's neck.
Can't you just,
and there's not a lot more to that story.
I know, but can't you just cut out the middleman and just take him to like Home Depot and ask the guy at the paint counter to put him in one of those paint shakers? Just to shake.
It's like, can you imagine being so lazy or like you're like a Duggar. So you have to build a machine to automate the baby shaking. You're like, God, I'm so tired of shaking.
I can't
all
even
these kids.
Hire a 13-year-old to watch this kid and get angry.
I have been shaking babies for 40 years. I'm so tired of it now.
Our aren't kids made out of cartilage anyway? Can't you just hold on to their legs and like spin real fast and they'll fix themselves?
Well, you know, like it does, like the problem is that these, a lot of chiropractors will advertise that, you know, chiropractic will, you know, cure colic.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah. There's,
you
know, yeah, a couple of things.
And,
yeah.
And I will say from personal experience, my second son was colicky.
Yeah.
He was colicky for 14 months.
Yeah.
And from experience, like there's no amount of shaking you won't do to get that kid to stop crying.
Yeah.
My second son, I didn't even hold him for the first 14 months of his life unless he was dead asleep, because he just fucking screamed anytime he wasn't like teat attached. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. So I get the like the frustration, the desire to do anything to fix it. What's problematic is that the chiropractic is not a solution.
No.
It's a shit solution to a real problem. And again, like we've talked about before, you take these people that are, you know, parents in this case, who are desperate and they're tired and they're upset that something's wrong with their kid, and they just want to fucking fix it. And they go to this guy who's like, yeah, I can fix it. And the guy instead breaks your baby's neck.
Well, in your case, they didn't fix it.
No, he just grew out of it.
He just grew out of it eventually.
Yeah, there is no fix.
There's no fix.
No, there's no fix for it. You just wait it out.
The worst part about it is that some things there's just no fix for.
Right. For colic, all you do is wait it out and resent your child.
Yeah, I think that's the
key. Those are the two things to do.
Yeah.
You got to do them simultaneously.
The best way to do that, Tom, is take a lot of videos while he was real shitty as a baby.
And show it to him later.
And just, no, you show it to him every night before he goes to sleep.
Remember when you did this?
Yeah.
Remember?
Here's your 30-minute video before you go to bed.
I had a big meeting. I could have been something.
It's just, but this isn't the only thing, though, too. And there's other people who tend to think that their baby... that their baby comes out and it needs an adjustment. Like not just
because
there's a thing, but like their chiropractor has told them that they need every week to come in and help pay my boat payment.
Yep.
So every week, come in. You got to get we got a brand new machine. You got to stand on it for a little bit, and then it's going to get your orgone, and it's going to tell us what your Google Doc is. And then we're going to figure that out. We're going to come back in here, and I'm going to tell you to move your leg, and I'm going to make your back snap. And you're going to be like, wow, that feels weird. It kind of hurt for a second, but now it feels better than the hurt. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny because like these guys sell you on this like maintenance visit, you know, like and these kids, they sell it because I used to be involved in this world a little bit. Like they sell this shit, particularly for infants, and they treat them like they're a pair of new shoes that have to be broken in.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like they're not. They're a fucking human being. And like 250,000 years of evolution, like kids are not that fucking fragile.
Right.
They're just not.
Yeah.
If babies were really all that fragile, we as fragile as we treat them now.
Sure.
There wouldn't be an us anymore.
Yeah, we wouldn't even
be an us. Yeah. We're not all that fucking fragile. We don't come out like, I would come out fucking helpless and stupid and made out of garbage for sure.
Sure.
And like we have to be taken care of and all of that. But like in terms of like just surviving, fucking babies are robust as shit. They don't, they can fall off a bed an infinite number of times, and they're almost always just fine.
They're just fine.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth? Why don't you answer him?
He's talking pig Latin. I don't know what he's saying.
He's asking you if you swear.
No, but I know all the words.
He's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgy Wudgy.
Oh, God, this fucking guy. This is amazing. This is from statesman.com. Texas judge interrupts jury, says God told him his defendant is not guilty. This is seriously crazy. Because that's exactly what happened. So this judge in Texas, the jury was hearing this case. It was hearing this. It's kind of a horrific sexual abuse case. And the judge was like, oh, hang on a minute. Hang on. When God talks, I got to listen. And God is, in fact, I want to read what he said. Hold on. It's in the article. He said, Judge Jack Robinson apologized to jurors for the interruption, but defended his actions saying, quote, when God tells me I got to do something, I got to do it. And then he tells the jurors to return a not guilty verdict in the trial of a woman accused of trafficking a teen girl for sex. Now, thankfully, the jury was like, even a Texas jury, even a Texas jury. The Texas jury was like,
It's like 11 Yosemite Sams. And like,
they were like, that. And this dude is guilty. Yeah. This woman was guilty as fuck, right?
Yeah.
So they report her guilty. But this guy, like the judge is not supposed to do that shit.
Yeah.
That's why you have a jury. The judge is not supposed to be like, hang on a minute. Jesus said not guilty.
I will say of all the times for God to speak up, because this guy's done hundreds of cases.
Yeah.
A slavery case seems like the case that God would speak up for.
Actually, it seems like the time he wouldn't speak up, he didn't fucking bother to speak up for it anywhere in the Bible.
Well, no, he doesn't want this person prosecuted.
I guess you're right.
Innocent. Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. Purposely left that out of the commandments.
I just want you to know that it's totally in my book that I wrote. Yeah. My number one bestseller.
I'm actually pro sex slavery.
Totally cool with slavery, guys.
God.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy to me because the courts seem pretty careful. For the most part, there's all these rules in place for courts. You know, you can't poison the jury with certain things and they strike things from
like
the
poison.
Record. Well, like real
I'm just
poison.
Saying that's implied.
Yeah. They can sometimes be juries can sometimes be hidden away from society. Right. There's times that we do that. There's all these little things that are involved in court cases that try to make sure that it's sort of, you know,
as impartial,
as fair
possible.
As possible. Yeah. How the fuck did this guy go this long in this business?
Well, look at the thing. Scroll down a little bit because look at this thing from 2011 that happened. So he was investigated by a state commission in 2011, and they slapped him with a reprimand for improperly jailing a grandfather who called him a fool for a ruling that he made in a child custody case. The reprimand, the commission's harshest form of rebuke, said Robinson exceeded the scope of his authority, failed to comply with the law by jailing the man for contempt without a hearing or advance notice of the charge. Like, this is a guy who sounds like he just treats his courtroom like a fiefdom.
Yeah.
You know? And I have read a number of articles where there are a number of judges who treat their courtroom like a fiefdom. And, you know, the oversight again, you know, these judges are incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And bringing these cats to justice is not an easy thing to do because they are part of that system. Anytime you have to bring somebody into their own system, which they influence, they know all these fucking people. They're going to fucking drinks and dinner with all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you call the police on the police?
Yeah. Right.
It's the same shit.
It's the exact same thing.
It's the same shit.
And you're going to run into a wall every time you try to, you know, go after this guy. And what's crazy is that some of these people, I mean, not in this, probably not in this case, but in other cases, some of these judges are appointed for life.
That's insane.
You know what I mean?
I thought that was just the Supreme Court. I just recently learned that it's not.
It's not. At least lifetime appointments
for
some of these judges.
I would never wear pants.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I know.
What are you going to do, huh? No pants. You're doing the no pants dance every
all
day.
I
like,
wear the
all
robe.
Rise. Here comes Tom. Please join him in the no pants dance.
All right. I've got to start on this.
I'm a slow starter.
I have to point it out that I've started. Anyway, I'm also finished. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that. Ora mana shanda karaba. Lo corre mene bene. Jede ke de burishida. Ke di bera sa. Uka chaka, uka, 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 chaka, uka, 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 chaka, uka.
Oh my, this is great. This is so funny. This is from the Raw story. So this is one of those idiot prophets.
This guy, we cover this guy a couple times.
Yeah. So what's his name again? Scroll. I forgot his name.
It's
so this is Prophet Mark Taylor, who looks like he stopped thinking about what he should do with his facial hair and actually all of his hair, like in 1979. He's like, you know what's a good look? Hawaii 5-0.
That's a good look. Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott's a good look.
He's got a mullet. The man has a mustache and a mullet.
He has a mustache and a mullet. If you put a cowboy hat on him, though, he's rocking it.
He's
rocking it.
He could actually teach Billy Crystal a thing or two in a little movie called City Slickers.
Billy Crystal standing next to him with a fucking big cow covered in blood.
Oh, my God. So this guy, he's a self-styled prophet. They're all self-styled prophets. None of them are appointed prophets by the International Prophet Committee, right? You all made that up. So this guy claims that he basically caused Clinton to collapse. Huh. Now, if you guys remember, Clinton had pneumonia. And she had a fucking schedule that like human beings cannot keep.
What did he shoot a blow like a blow dart gun? Seconds later,
she swats at her neck like oh, yeah.
It's a big fucking thing with it's like a carnation on the end of it or whatever those things are.
Like Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. There's just like She goes cross-eyed before she falls. Like,
all right, so here goes. This is from Right Wing Watch.
We need to come together as a fighting force, the army of God. Now, I want to use this example. We did a national prayer call 60 days before November 8th for the 2016 election for Donald Trump. Now, my co-author, Mary O. Colbert, started it, and the Lord told her to do it on Labor Day. Started on Labor Day. It's going to be a labor of love. So
wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to have labor off? Labor Day off? That seems like a dick move. That's like really your day is. Off of work. The guy's really like, is. Not for you. You got to work. You can't eat, and you got to work.
Well, I mean, he's only got one Sabbath day off a week anyway. That's it's not like God true. Was like, yeah, I'll get the weekend. That was unions, motherfucker. It wasn't God.
Right. You get Sunday. And you get the 6 federal holidays.
And you
first we had
seven,
to create the idea of federal, though.
6 days a week. Get to work on Saturday.
So we went 60 days straight every single morning for 15 minutes. One person would pray, would lead the prayer. Now, I'm using this as an...
It's like the golden child. There's just like one person and they're always praying at him. Always trying to pray at him. They're slipping the blood in his oatmeal, trying to trick him up.
Am I supposed to be impressed that they committed to something that took 15 minutes a day? Am I supposed to really be?
You can fucking do Duolingo for that long.
Dude, yeah, right? But it's not even
it's
that.
It's like Rosetta Stone. Like,
you know what I did?
You learn how to say fucking baguette after 60 days. Fuck off.
They committed to 15 whole minutes a day of thinking in the general minutes. Direction of the sky.
That would be real tough.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm so tired. What'd you do? Oh, I spent 50, I've done it like 47 days in a row.
47 days.
I thought. Yeah. Specific thoughts.
An example. This is the power and authority that we have when we are in one heart, one mind, and one accord in unity like God has called us to be. This is the power and authority we have. So Mary had me on 9/11 because I was a first responder. She wanted me to stand up for the first responders. Well, I didn't take this job lightly. I took it very serious. I went before the Lord, just like I do my prophetic words. And I said, Lord,
what does that mean? When I want to prophesy something, I go to the God. I'm like, hey, is it cool if I say the following shit? Because that's what I was. Is any of this true? What does that mean?
Well, I think we should all feel bad for him because the commute to heaven and back.
Oh, it's a bitch.
Sucks. And it sucks because if you remember, another pastor had to get food poisoning to get there.
I remember that guy. Yeah,
the fucking commute to heaven sucks.
Yeah.
No and good. You can only stay there as long as you sleep.
What do you want me to pray for? Not what I want to pray for. What do you want me to pray for? And a lot of the people that were coming on there praying, by the way, the Lord was telling me they're using too generalized a prayer mark and too generalized repentance. He says, you need to get focused. It's target focus. That's where I learned the target focus prayer and repentance stuff. So I sat down before the Lord. I wrote out 15 straight minutes worth of target focus repentance first, because that's what disarms the enemy, right? We just learned that earlier. That's what takes away the enemy's legal right to be there. And
it's legal right to be there. Or I'll take you to court and sue
like
you.
Devil, like, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be here. You can't get rid of me.
Fuck, what is that? Oh, subsection 2, paragraph 3, line 4. Oh, fuck. All right, Legion, everybody out. We got to go. All right, paperwork's it's all in order. It's all, he's got it in triplicate.
There's an eviction notice right here.
I can't. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to make some phone calls. No, nothing they can do. I tried. Yeah. I called in a favor.
Tried to call Al Pacino, my lawyer.
Satan.
He wasn't around.
I'm a fan of man.
Then I went for the juggler with the prayers. The target
went for the juggler.
You always go for the juggler.
Yeah.
Noah, we're coming after you,
absolutely.
Buddy.
Absolutely. If there's a magician and a juggler, you always go for the juggler. Yeah. But then you beat up the magician afterwards.
Focus prayers. So we started at 9 o'clock. We hung up the phone, I think at like 9:17, brother, on 9/11. And 20 minutes later, this is a true story. You can vet this.
How can we all wish?
What do I have to do? I have to contact God to double check your sources?
You can double check that I said this because I'm saying it now. You can play it in a record.
Yeah, I prayed privately, right? So we don't even know whether or not you prayed at all.
Right.
And then you're just like, yeah, well, you could double check and vet this. Yeah, well, it happened on 9/11, but that's because she was at like a fucking memorial for 9/11 all day and old and tired and probably sick.
20 minutes later is when, and one of the things that I had prayed on that prayer was time is up for those who are corrupt, because I had written that prophetic word back in 2015, that time is up for those who are corrupt, all our leaders, our senators, congressmen, all these people. And I said, Lord, I said, remove all those that are corrupt in our government and in leadership.
And did that work? Is there no more corruption in our leadership? Did that work? Did that happen? I feel like that nothing happened after you asked for that.
I feel like after you asked for that, Michael Flynn wound up getting an appointment by President Trump. Right. So, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? I asked for all the corruption. Oh, well, fucking, I'm glad you fixed that.
Yeah.
Did you notice the mass resignations that didn't happen or the, like nothing fucking occurred. Nothing occurred. You're horrible.
Across this country at every level of government, local, state, and federal. And that was one of the
fucking
things that
dog catcher's corrupt. He's like, oh man, fuck. Some city council guy like took a bunch of fucking paper home for his kids.
He's got a stapler from work.
Right. He's just like, oh man, we just want to make paper. My little girl likes to draw. Fucking God made me fuck. Okay, shit.
Asked with 10,000 people on the phone in agreement. I hung up the phone at 9:17. 20 minutes later, Hillary Clinton collapsed for the entire world
to
see.
She stumbled. She stumbled a little, but she didn't go.
Yeah.
And then she got the fuck back up.
They had to get out that fucking, like, the thing, that paddle thing. Be like,
yeah, right, the defibrillators.
Yeah, they had to fucking gazette her back to life. Yeah. That's what happened. She collapsed. They had to fucking, like they had to work on her for, like, 20 minutes like they do that chick in the abyss. Fucking Bill's beating on her chest.
Like, don't die on me!
Now, that was prophetic.
Wow.
On a couple of different accounts. One, that shows you the power and authority we have with 10,000 people in agreement, in one heart, one mind, and one accord, in unity. Now, we're not always...
Why don't you just do that all the time, then?
She still fucking ran and got more votes than the guy. Like, it's not like... It's not like she like was like, fuck, and dropped out of the race.
Right.
She just, you like I want to read the last paragraph because it couldn't be any better. The last paragraph from the story. There you go. A man speaking on behalf of 10,000 Christians just took credit for causing a 68-year-old Christian woman to stumble in order to help elect an ignorant racist buffoon who apparently slept with a porn star months after marrying his third wife before paying her hush money so no one would question his fitness for office. Way to go, Jesus. You really nailed that one.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
He's going to agree on everything. That's fine. We can lovingly agree to disagree, but we still come together for one common goal, and that is to move.
Make old ladies stumble. We're just
going to. You should see what they do when the old lady with the red hat club goes out to Denny's. Like, they all walk in, and like that fucking welcome mat slips out from underneath them. They all break their hip.
Like, every she's single the wheat. One of them. Just mow them down. I pray for you to fall.
And you just hear, like,
mow them down.
That when every one of them hits their hip, you just hear that subtle, like, little snapping brittle break of like a tiny twig. Osteoporosis is a bitch.
The kingdom of God forward, which we were doing that day. But the second thing was prophetic for when she fell, that was a prophetic sign that the Clinton machine and all those attached to it was going to collapse. She lost her shoe, which means she's going to they will lose their peace. Now, when we have
the fuck does that even mean?
What? She lost her shoe?
Her shoe. I think her tripped. When she tripped, she lost her shoe.
Her shoe? Yeah. Her shoe? Are you fucking kidding me? Somebody threw a shoe at George W. Bush. You remember that shit?
They found his shoe.
Found a bitch.
They did throw a shoe at him. Yeah, I remember that.
Like, he ducked that shit too. Yeah,
he totally dodged it.
Rib matrix that shit was amazing.
At 8 years of Obama, that shoe was on our foot, so to speak, pun intended. It was on the other foot.
Oh my God, this is the most belabored metaphor. Holy shit. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Well, that shoe actually came off.
Yeah.
So it's not on anyone's foot.
Yeah.
And later she'll put it back on her foot. So the metaphor doesn't, like, you really have to kind of stretch for this one. But
do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness monster, and the theory of Atlantis?
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
So this story is also from the Raw story. A psychic paid $3.5 million from elderly woman for exorcisms, gets prison for evading U.S. taxes.
Yeah, but they did make her pay some of the money back or all the money back.
You know, and I know that like getting people on tax evasion is a frequent tactic. Like when you can't get people on like the actual shit that people do.
Yeah.
Like the actual shit that people do. So this psychic is going to go to prison for 26 months because she didn't pay fucking taxes on $3.5 million. She stole this money from, you know, shock of shocks, an old lady.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fucking old lady. And she was trying to tell this fucking old lady she's going to cleanse her of fucking demons. And like, I don't want to victim blame because I'm not victim blaming. But like, what kind of fucking story do you have to manufacture? It's like, I'm going to need another million.
And then she had like a credit card in her account, like, and just spent a bunch of money on that too. It says in the article, it says prosecutors contended Johnson employed techniques commonly used by fraudulent fortune tellers. What? Fraudulent? Aren't they all fraudulent? Where's the real fortune teller?
I actually don't understand what's the difference between a psychic and a fortune teller. She employed tactics frequently used by her, by exactly what she is.
Yeah.
Fortune tellers, psychic, there's no difference. What's the difference? How is a fortune teller different than a psychic?
I mean, I think one of them talks to the dead and one of them looks at cards.
Do all psychics talk to the dead?
Isn't that a specific kind of psychicism? There's a specific kind of psychic that only talks to, and there's others that divine out of like fucking chicken guts and spit in a coffee.
Tarot cards.
And
have you ever gone to a psychic?
I have never, no.
I have gone to a psychic before.
Yeah.
I've gone to it's kind of funny. And like, I know like there's a part of me, it's like, I don't want to give my fucking money. You know, I don't want to give some fraudster my money, but it's like, there's like a kitschy sort of funny thing around it. That's like, yeah, you know,
it's funny. It's fine as long as it's, you know, just like when somebody is a mentalist, right. And you know that they're playing a trick on you and it makes it seem amazing when they do it, right? Yeah, the mentalists, when they do it, you're like, holy shit, it's, you know, that's an amazing trick. Mentalists can do that sort of thing and make it seem really, you know, a really, like it's almost like it's miraculous.
Yeah.
If they're very good, they can make it seem that way. And when you think about it, you know, it's very similar to what these people are doing, except for they're telling you they're doing a trick, right?
Right.
You know, they're probably employing many of the same techniques that somebody else is employing. To get to know something about you, for you to open up, for you to forget the questions that got you to the point where they're guessing things about you. There's probably a lot of things that they employ that a mentalist employs, and they just sell it differently. Yeah, they don't sell it as they don't come out and say they're lying to you. And the crazy thing is that, you know, if we all just treated it as fun, then it would all just be, then they could make money just being harmless and everybody would be happy. You know, we're just going out to have a good time. They'd make probably a regular wage doing that sort of thing. But the problem is it's not, there is harm. And the harm is that there are people who believe it, and they believe it enough to basically give up all their wealth.
Can I ask you another question? You steal $1 million from somebody.
Yeah.
Why don't you just stop there?
I don't know.
These guys always do that. I've never understood that. I will never understand stealing past that, like to there's, because it happens all the time. These guys steal and they get fucking rich, and they're just like, well, I could keep stealing.
Well, maybe it was 3.5 million in Bitcoin though.
So. Oh, so now it's 48 cents in Bitcoin. That's great.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Right Wing Watch. Alex Jones goes on profanity.
Look at his face.
I know. Alex Jones goes on profanity-laced rant about CNN anchors saying shithole. This is just amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to set the scene here. I'm actually going to play it, but I want to set the scene. So there's this really nerdy guy standing in front of a bunch of computers. He's not mic'd. So what we're hearing is a camera that's near him. So he's going to be a little soft in the background. Hopefully it's not going to be too soft for you not to hear it. He's a little soft. He's not being mic'd. So he doesn't have any lapel mic on or anything. And they're clearly behind the scenes in, you know, the war room or whatever.
Alex Jones's garage,
you know, is like, in his weird
out of his basement.
Is it?
Is all this, the InfoWars is out of his basement.
Okay. So he's, I'm not going to get on somebody because we used to have Glory Hole Studios in your basement. So
we didn't have a lot of pretenses about what that was. And we still don't.
That's very true.
Like, come on.
But in any case, he's, you know, in a tiny little dank weird room, and he's got a bunch of monitors, and he's talking about what the CNN people, what happened with the CNN people, where they said shithole a bunch. But
Alex Jones is going to be walking in the background, also not mic'd throughout this entire clip.
Well, speaking of language, don't you guys think it was interesting that CNN was able to use shithole 195?
Yeah, but if I say it, I get fined $4,000. Exactly. CNN can say
Who is fining him? He's got a .com show.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's on anything. I mean, unless he's being broadcast on the radio, which I'm not sure of. And I mean, I've seen him blow up many times on his show.
He curses and says crazy. Yeah. When you're on the air, you could do anything on the internet. Go on the internet. The least offensive thing is the word shithole.
Nobody's ever fined us, and we've said some horrible shithole stuff.
Like you can go on the internet and look at someone's shithole.
Yeah.
You can go on the internet and watch someone fuck someone's shithole.
You can go on the internet, look at that shithole and two girls with a cup.
Shithole, and you don't fucking bitch about it. And because you're a goddamn cunt. You're a fucking mind control fuck.
Was CNN taken off?
This guy's trying to talk over Alex Jones is raging in the background, trying to talk over Alex, and he can't talk over Alex. Alex is just screaming, cunt, fuck, poor bag.
Twitter? Were they banned from Twitter for a day? I have yet to read that story.
Well, I don't know. Did they say anything horribly racist? That gets you banned from Twitter. Yeah. Or when you stick your followers on somebody, that gets you banned from Twitter.
CNN is not going to get banned from Twitter for quoting the president.
Also, you can swear on Twitter. Like you could just swear. So it's okay. It's not against the rules. You can swear on Twitter too. Like, that's what they don't understand. They like, well, they said a bad word. They should be banned. And you're like, oh no, you said black people weren't human. That's why you got banned. Or you sicked all your shitty followers on somebody else. That's why you got banned.
Right.
Because you said something false to sick your shitty followers on somebody.
It's not dirty, dirty curse words.
It's not curse words that do it.
Right.
It's being a shitty person.
They'll probably age restrict this shit. And the fucking people in here will love it. They don't care if they're sacrificing babies and potbelly PBPs are raping them.
Wait, what is a potbelly PBP? What is that? A potbelly PBP.
I think you can order it though.
Butter and what? What is it? A potbelly peanut butter and
pulled pork.
Is he saying potbelly pig? Because I like it. I like it. It's fun. There's much alliteration. It's just fun.
It also could mean phantom ball pain.
Potbelly. Go back to the clip. Let's see if either one of those makes sense.
Okay, let's see. All right, here we go. Let's rewind a little.
All right.
Fucking people in here will love it. They don't care if they're sacrificing babies and potbellied PBPs are raping them.
PBPs.
Potbellied phantom ball pain? Or potbellied potbelly pig?
I like yours better.
Potbelly pigs.
Wait. I have a pen. I have an apple. Pot belly pigs.
pot belly pigs.
All they care about is if I use Anglo-Saxon shit.
What is use it?
I use
what
do you Anglo-Saxon use it for? Shit. Somebody bring me an Anglo-Saxon poo.
Someone bring me a tub of Anglo-Saxon shit.
I will dry this and make a wonderful wind chime. What?
Just listen to your show.
Justin said the N.
You have to watch this video at 42 seconds in. This guy is just like, they catch him sort of
in a real moment
where he's just like, I'm embarrassed for Alex Jones moment. And you've just got to see this face that he has on this look he has on his face that he's just like, and I think what it is he knows it's all a joke too.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's that this guy knows it's all a joke. This guy knows that Alex Jones is not mad. Right. This guy, Alex Jones isn't freaking out. Alex Jones is playing for the camera and this guy knows it and they caught him smiling.
Yeah, right. Either that or he's thinking this internship got weird.
Yeah, or he's like, I'm sick of milking a bunch of Anglo-Saxons for this shit.
He also said the N-word. Peter Stroke got on there with Don Lemon and said the N-word three times.
Yeah,
I'm sure that with Don Lemon, he called Don Lemon the N-word. That's what happened.
I love that these guys don't include context at all. As if like the shithole thing, it's like, it's a quote. Like they're quoting.
Yeah.
They're quoting.
Yeah. Exactly.
Context matters.
Exactly. It absolutely matters.
And with
Don Lemon, who happens to be black, what happened was is somebody came on, talked about what somebody said or talked about what somebody wrote. And And they said it out loud. And,
right.
And, but you're so fucking stupid that you don't realize that, you know, it's important what happens before and after the word is said.
Right. It's just the word itself. Like yeah. the word itself is like the trigger. It's like yeah. a fucking red cape to these idiots.
They're all just like F. Lee Bailey in the
OJ
thing
trial.
Said N-word 41 times. Yeah. They are allowed to do it, not us. Yeah. Well, fuck you.
Who's they? Is he saying black people?
I think he's saying black people.
He's saying black people are allowed to throw. Yeah, black people are allowed to throw around the N-word. And you, Alex Jones, a super white dude, you're not allowed to throw around the N-word. Yeah.
It's kind of easy. Like this is super easy.
And here's the thing. I don't resent that.
No.
Because I never want to use the fucking N-word.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw that word around. I don't resent that that's not my word.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to use that word because it's a fucking dehumanizing, shitty, mean-spirited, bigot word.
Yeah.
So it's never a word I want to use. It's a word that I never, ever want to hear.
Yeah.
That's why I fucking use it. I don't need to use a cuss words. I got a giant lexicon, bitches. But
I don't need to fucking swear, asshole.
Okay. We need another shirt.
That's
I got a giant lexicon, bitches.
I love it. I love it. That's three. We're going to have a whole new merch store.
I'm going to use it because you're not going to sit there and tell me what to use. You got that? You got that? You got that? I'm not talking to our regular listeners and viewers. I'm talking about all the fucking control freaks who want to run my life. You've already run shit in the ground, and you and your political correctness can go straight to hell.
Who is he even talking to?
To us.
Well, I don't care about running his life. I want his show to continue. It's a fucking laugh
it's
riot.
It's a delight.
I want him to keep being crazy. I am interested to see him have his inevitable on-air heart attack.
Yeah.
That's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like when the steroids finally fucking blow out his fucking water pump.
So we want to thank our newest patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons. We want to thank our newest patrons, Soy Boy Toy.
Gross.
Real Donald Trump.
Welcome. Asshole.
Order us a Whopper, dude. Connor, Miss Sando, Scott. Okay, come on.
That's Muji Boo Dog.
Muji Boo Dog, Maru, Catherine, Chester, Big Val, Damien. So last week we had asked people what a serial killer Tinder might be, and we got a bunch of different things on Twitter and via email. So I'm going to read some of them. Jack the Ripper, RIPPR.
I like it.
Like that one. Christian Mangle, Meat Grinder.
That's good.
BTK Ender or BT Kinder. Dexter, which is great. It's DXTR. Okay, Lecter. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Plenty of Albert Fish is really good. Tender and Snatch.com. I think there is a Snatch.com, actually.
I like Tender.
Tender is great.
Tender is
very funny. Meat Grinder.
Yeah.
All of them are very funny. We got a bunch of them. I just wanted to read several of them that we got. Thanks for sending them in. They were really funny. We got a message. I don't want to mention who this is because they didn't leave their name and they only left their email. What they said is, if you have schizophrenia, your mind is going to make something up. So if there's no stories of angels, they might see aliens or something else.
Which is interesting. What I wonder secondary to that is, like, if you see something that's not there, will you manufacture evil intent?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if the story behind the thing that you see is a positive story.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it always has. Yeah. Always has evil intent. We got a message from Aaron. There's a video for death metal Mary Poppins, and we're going to post it on this week's show notes. They match up the voices with the video so well in this.
I thought it was very funny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We also got a music video of Alex Jones from Josh. We're going to post it on this week's show notes. It's basically took him just grunting and saying weird shit and turned it into a techno song.
It's really funny.
It's really good too. We got an update from Iran, who is the president of the Australian Skeptics Inc. It seems that Britt, the person who was doing the legal fundraising on that GoFundMe, they reached their goal.
Yeah, that's terrific because they, you know, they're exposing the nonsense of naturopaths, and they deserve to be able to do that without having to worry about, you know, having to fund a legal campaign.
For sure.
That's great news.
We got a bunch of messages about the Hawaii thing. One from Trevor who said that they were waking and baking and got that message on their ballistic missiles on its way. And the message reads, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And that's,
I can't even imagine.
Whoa. We got a couple of these. Another person named Peter sent it in. And their story kind of is more like, you know, this sort of thing does happen once in a while. Like, they had like a sort of feel like, you know, we're sort of used to this because it this sort of thing does happen once
which is
in a while.
Crazy.
Yeah. And they also have that, you know, they also, because they're so far out there that, you know, they're used to this sort of feeling of vulnerability.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I had never considered.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're just so close when you look at the map.
They're, I know, like, they're right in the corner.
They're right across that bridge from Alaska.
Right in the corner. We got another message from Brandon, and Brandon said they basically spent 20 minutes on the internet freaking out, and they never got a retraction from the government.
That's insane. They had to go to Twitter.
Yeah, and the reason why it didn't come out sooner, I found out, is because the Hawaiian guy forgot his Twitter
password. Are you kidding me?
They should ask Sean Spicer. He could have tweeted it.
It's Big Red.
No, it's not. You know, we got a message from Chris, and Chris just said that we helped them get through the week with some tough stuff going on. So, Chris, we hope everything goes well for you,
absolutely.
and anything that we can do to ease that, you know, we're happy
grateful
to.
For the chance. Yeah, we're grateful. To do it, yeah.
Got a message from Zaid. I pronounced it Zaid last time.
I thought it was Zaid, but it's not.
But Zaid said it rhymes with maid and raid. So, and Zaid, you sent in a call to prayer, I think, for Trump, Ronald Trump. And it's, I can't read it.
I can't read it either. I tried, but yeah, it's, I can't, I, that's not a yeah language I speak. Yeah. I don't know how
Ashu
to
do it. Ashu Hida An La, I can't do it.
Yeah,
sorry.
I can't do it.
I don't want,
I can't even hooked on phonics. Yeah, that shit.
I can't either.
I can't.
But Zaid, at least we got your name right. In Iraq.
Yeah,
wow.
Please don't, ooh, be dead soon.
Oh.
Don't listen to, yeah, our show or email us ever. Because I'm scared for you.
I'm terrified for you too.
I don't want to get an email, yeah, from ISIS saying, yeah, I have Zaid. Send me your glory holes, exactly, or whatever.
Send me your,
like, glory. I don't need that. Yeah.
I would send
conscience
my glory holes though. I mean, I definitely send them. So if ISIS ever captures you, they can have all my glory holes. Offer that up early. That's a bargaining chip. You can use that. We got a message from Quig, and Quig said that I heard your trials with the crazy salt licorice candy. The trick is to put it in your mouth and let the salt dissolve. And then if you tough it out for 30 seconds, the licorice is pretty sweet. That's like hitting yourself in the face with a hammer because it feels good when you stop, though. I mean, really, let's be honest.
I got to say, like, I've made that pitch before. Like, yeah, just put
just
it in your mouth
in
for
your
a
mouth
little
for
while.
30 seconds.
And then
it'll be
we'll
salty
see what
at
happens
first.
Yeah. But afterwards, yeah, it'll be pretty sweet. Yeah.
Sweet for me. Sweet. Well, we have, hopefully, like we said, we want you to come find us on Tuesday night. If you're free after the State of the Union, we will be talking maybe 10 or 15 minutes after the State of the Union ends. We'll be going live on Facebook and on live stream. We also have a special guest, Seth Andrews, for our 400th show. And if you want to wish us a happy 400th, you can do it. Send it to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. We will collect a bunch of these, make them short, 15 seconds. That's kind of the sweet spot. But that's going to wrap it up for this week.
Indeed.
And we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death in towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.